I'm sorry for the interruption of your usual viewing. And please don't try to change channels.
This is Rush to Reason. Ta-da! With John Rush.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Well, we have something to aspire to then.
And Dan Muir.
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
Discussing the issues that matter to you.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men.
Finding real answers, using logic and reason.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I get it. I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. But that was awesome.
Let's do this.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Kicking off the second hour here on this great Tuesday afternoon here in Colorado. It's absolutely gorgeous out. Fran Lewis joining us now. I should say author Fran Lewis. And we're going to talk about caring for relatives with dementia. She's got a new book out where we learn about Alzheimer's and that particular disease, A Daughter's Promise. Fran, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it very much. This is something that, and I don't know all the stats, but I do know that a large percentage of our population will be affected by this particular subject one way, shape, or form in their lifetime, correct?
You are definitely correct, and it just comes upon you. You don't even know when it happens. It just happened on my mother out of nowhere.
Yep, and we as a family have experienced this in our past as well. An estimated 5.5 million Americans across a broad range of ages have Alzheimer's disease. And, of course, the owner of our Denver Broncos, Mr. Pat Bowlen, has it. So we're very familiar with that, and it's in the news a lot here in the Denver area just because of that particular fact I just mentioned.
Yeah, it is. I was sitting in the diner talking, having breakfast with my mom, and she turned around and said to me, I can't remember what I knew before. She couldn't remember what she said 5 minutes before. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2003. And from 2003 to 2011, it was like a candle burning, a wax, and it just sort of went out very, very slowly. And the scary part is you can't stop it no matter what you do.
Yeah, it is. My grandmother, I mean, back then, this has been, you know, 20, well, probably almost 30 years ago now, we didn't have the same type of diagnosis and even the same names that we had today, but essentially it was the same thing that you're talking about in your book because we watched it happen. And what was interesting is, and Ann, I'm sure, or Fran, I'm sure you can talk about this as well, is there were moments, though, or there were particular days where she could remember things from 30 years ago like it happened yesterday.
You are totally correct. I would walk into the room and she would say, did you do your homework? And I go, I didn't feel like it today.
Yeah.
Or she would remember something that my father said to her, or she would say, you didn't wear that yesterday, you wore that the day before. She was very lucid.
Right.
And then there were times I would walk in and she would say to me, who are you? You're not my right daughter, you're the other one.
Right.
And it was very disconcerting, but I knew that. The one thing I have to say is that people that have relatives or caregivers, you need to have a sense of humor. You can't lose it. And you have to understand that their world is changing and Alzheimer's wins.
And they have no control over that. So just because they don't remember who you are today doesn't mean that they don't have the same love and affection that they had yesterday. Their mind just isn't capable of remembering who you are that day, right?
That is correct. I would walk in and I would go, this is Fran, I'm here. She'd say, yeah, you're my daughter. And then 5 minutes again, she would say to me, I know you're my daughter, but which one are you?
Right. Or who are you sometimes?
Oh, yeah, she did. She would. When my sister died, she realized on Thursdays my sister would come and she would say to me, where's Marcia? I said, she's working. After a while, she remembered that she wasn't there.
Wow.
So she didn't not remember things, but the light goes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer.
Right.
It's sad.
So why did you write the book? I mean, I think I understand why. You know, being somebody that even watched this, and I was a lot younger then than I am today. I was in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s watching this, so I didn't quite understand then, you know, like I do today. But why the book? Is it to help people that, like myself, that have been through some of these things?
It's to help everyone to understand that this is serious and that maybe someday, somehow, they'll find the real cause and the cure. Our daughter's promise, the title means, I promised my mom when she was lucid, I would never put her in a facility. That's not to say that there are not some facilities that are good. After visiting 20 of them, I realized that I made the right decision. Mm. I wrote this to help people, to inform them of what happens when someone has Alzheimer's, the different stages that they go through, and to remind caregivers that you count and that you need to understand that you need help, that you can't do it alone. And I pretty much did it alone. If you read the book, you know, my sister couldn't come in all the time, and my brother couldn't face the fact that my mother was so ill. So many times, and I would say, can I go away for a weekend? I couldn't go. And, you know, it was difficult.
Yeah, because you're the primary caregiver at that point, so you have to be there.
24/7, because when a person has Alzheimer's and they're on medication and they don't know what medication they're taking, legally the home health aides that I had could not give it to her. Mm-hmm. I had to do it every single day in the morning and at night. And if I wanted to go anywhere overnight, I had to get either my next door neighbor or my sister to come in to do it. Yeah, you're there 24/7 and you have to be there all the time.
Wow, it is such a tremendous burden that I don't think, and maybe burden isn't the right way, but it is a burden, Fran. We know that it is, because you're doing things. I mean, I watched my grandfather and other family members at the time, you know, go and do some of the similar things that you're talking about, and it is a burden because you've got to coordinate all those different things, make sure everything's happening, and make sure that loved one gets cared for.
That's exactly right, and it took me a very long time from 2003 to 2008 to get split shift 12 hours and 12 hours. And the cost was $6,000 a month for the night time.
Wow.
And it was pretty much on me. But the strangest things have happened. The aide left my mom on a street corner one day in 2007. So I went after them for 6 hours, and I said, wait a minute. You left my mom on a street corner by herself. Somebody grabbed her and took her to the hospital. She disappeared. And I got the rest, but I had to fight every step of the way to keep what I had. Yeah, I had six home health aides that, thank God, God bless them. They were the best once I finally got the right six.
Right.
But every which way but loose, they try to, you know, be in there, try to take it away.
Right. So, okay, so what recommendations do you have for people? First of all, what are some of the onsets? In other words, what are some of the signs that folks should be looking for in loved ones when this disease starts its onset?
Well, to be very honest, you forget words or misplaced objects. That's mild.
Okay.
You forget something that they read. I mean, people do. It doesn't mean you have dementia. They ask the same questions over and over again. When it gets really, really difficult, increased memory loss and confusion, problems recognizing family and friends, decreasing ability to perform simple tasks, even just eating or going to the bathroom or hygiene or appearance, recognizing faces and forgetting names when it's really bad. Sometimes my mom would think she saw animals on the wall, or she thought she saw my father come in, delusional at times.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be fed, walked, changed. They become incontinent. It's in 10 stages. There are 7 stages, and it's scary because, unfortunately, like I said, there's nothing that you can do just to stop it.
Wow.
And it doesn't mean that somebody forgot where their keys, and then 5 minutes later you remember it.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that
you have
Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Correct. Now, again, we're talking to Fran Lewis, and she's a author of 13 books, but one of those happens to be A Daughter's Promise, and it really is about the struggles when it comes to dealing with relatives, you know, caring for relatives that have Alzheimer's, dementia, things along about that particular disease. Let me just say it that way. It's that particular disease. So, Fran, a question for you. As people maybe are even going through some of this themselves or have that fear that this may happen, have they made any progress in any kind of cure for this? In other words, has it gotten any better, or are we right where we were 30 years ago?
You know, my mother was on Aricept and Namenda. Aricept did nothing. Namenda, I thought, slowed it down just a bit. I found that because I didn't allow her to think that she didn't know things, that I would, you know, talk to her, Ma, do you want coffee or tea? Do you want this or that? You have to give them choices. I do know that there's a doctor who read my book, Dr. Mark Mailer at Kennedy Center in the Bronx, who's looking for the cause of Alzheimer's. He's working with that.
Mm.
So somebody said that there were certain diabetes medicines that I saw the other day that might help people with Alzheimer's. They're doing research, but they're not exactly there yet.
Wow.
There's a Dr. Joe Verghese that works with the aging in the Bronx, too, that I've contacted and asked them to actually read the book. So, unfortunately, there is no cure.
Okay.
And yet, Dr. Mailer feels that they haven't really found the cause as yet.
Got it. Fran, really, I appreciate you writing this book. As somebody that watched some of this myself at a young age and realized that there's, as you say, 5.5 million Americans across the country affected by this. It's a big topic. It's something that we need to raise awareness on. I think your book will actually do that. And I appreciate you writing it. Again, Fran Lewis, and the book is A Daughter's Promise. I'm assuming Amazon, any other great bookstores they can buy that at, Fran?
Yes, they can. It's everywhere online, and if anybody wants to read it, feel free to contact me at gabina49@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you an ebook or a Mopi or anything complimentary to read the book, because I want as many people to read it as possible.
Awesome. Fran, that is awesome. Thank you very, very much for doing this. I appreciate it, and just have a great 2018. We really appreciate all that you're doing to bring awareness to this.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Fran. Appreciate it very much. Big deal. Big topic, folks.
To me, that's the scariest stuff ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really scary stuff.
It is, actually. Seen it. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's scary.
So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Life Choices coming up first this particular hour. And as we were just talking to Fran about life, whether you're elderly or whether we're trying to start life, Life Choices is really there for unwed mothers, unplanned pregnancies. They've got a sharpshooters competition coming up in February that if you want to get registered for, you can actually use the promo code KLZ560 and get $5 off. Register at lifematters.org or call 970-461-5050. So a great event that you can participate in that will actually help Life Matters and Life Choices raise money. Go to lifematters.org, learn more about that. And any other way, you can potentially help out that great organization. Why? Because life matters at Life Choices.
Thanks to your generosity, Life Choices has the great honor of speaking to vulnerable students in middle schools and high schools across northern Colorado. Many of these young people have never heard the message of sexual purity. Instead, they've been taught that sex represents a normal part of dating. When teachers or principals invite Life Choices to speak in their classrooms, many of these students learn the truth for the first time that sex belongs in marriage. Life Choices trains students to form healthy relationships by setting boundaries. In the 2015-2016 school year, Life Choices presented the message of sexual integrity in 16 high schools and 15 middle schools, reaching nearly 6,000 students. Life Choices shares the love of Jesus Christ by helping young people understand the consequences of their sexual decisions. Donate today at lifematters.org. That's lifematters.org.
Larry's Automotive and Transmission. They would love to help you with any of your vehicle needs. They're in the Westminster area. Would love to help you out. The phone number, 303-427-2108. And remember, they can do all of your transmission repairs and anything that your vehicle needs at the same time. So full bumper-to-bumper service. They would love to take care of you and your vehicle. That's Larry's Automotive and Transmission, 303-427-2108. Call them now and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Trust your car's regular maintenance to Larry's Automotive, and you can be sure you're getting the best service possible. Don't waste time with those national chain auto repair shops. You'll always be better off going to local shops like Larry's Automotive, because at Larry's, you're not just another customer passing through. At Larry's, they'll take the time to get to know you and your car. Their ASC master technicians will even take your driving style into consideration, because they understand that if your daily commute is mostly in heavy stop-and-go traffic, your needs will be different from someone who regularly drives long distances. Plus, their 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty will help keep your car on the road for as long as possible. Call John Rush Approved, Colorado Select member, Larry's Automotive, at 303-427-2108 to schedule your regular maintenance appointment. 303-427-2108.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Dan, and we just got done talking about Alzheimer's. So the fear of, I don't really have a fear of death, but the different ways to die, that one, which we did not mention yesterday, no, could, that would not
you,
be fun.
Could you imagine losing your mind like that?
No.
I've
seen it. It's not fun.
No, it's not.
It's not fun.
No, it's one of the scariest things
ever.
My
grandmother, my dad's mom, really suffered from that and was one of the sharpest individuals you would have ever met, much personality like mine, only in the female form. That's where I get my personality, is very much from her. Now, I was probably a lot more fun than her at times, but and I love my grandmother dearly, but she was direct, honest. You always knew where you stood. There was never any beating around the bush. You told it like it was, you know, just and ran a tight ship until then. Until her mind started to fail. And then it was kind of slow, and then, man, it just was like a runaway freight train. And basically everybody in the family sort of took turns. And my grandfather, you know, bless his soul, who passed away 3 months after she died, which tells you the love connection that the two of them had. So she died, and he was fit as a fiddle, didn't have a lick of problems, none, zero, zilch. But just had lived, you know, had taken care of her, and they had been by each other's side, been in business for all those years and just couldn't live without one another. And he went 3 months after she did. But, you know, watching that disease and all of that it entailed and just the progression of what was going on. Yeah, honestly, Dan, of all the things we talked about even yesterday, that's the one I wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, when you lose your mind like that, you lose who you are.
Yeah, and then also affect all those that are around you even more so.
Yeah.
Because now they're dealing with all of what used to be that's no longer there. And unfortunately, you don't even, that's one thing I was going to talk to Fran a little bit about is you also as a family member, as a person, need to also get around the fact that that's not who they are. I mean, I'm not saying it right. It's not who they were, it's who they are now.
Correct.
So don't, when they pass, don't think of them that way. Think of them as the way they used to be.
Exactly.
Because your mind, you know, your perception of who they are will change, because in her case, it went from 2003 to 2011.
That's a long time.
8 years.
A long time.
So for 8 years, she saw her mom in a totally new light, not the way she used to be. So you have to wrap your, and again, I'm not a psychologist, but I've got to believe that you have to somehow get your head wrapped around the fact that this is not who mom, dad, whoever was, or is. It's who they were when they died, but they were somebody else all the other years.
You want to remember that person as who they were before that disease hit them.
Correct.
Hard. Yeah.
Correct. And that's not always hard to do, or not always easy to do.
No,
that's a hard thing to do.
It would be very difficult, especially like if you're the caretaker. Let's say you're the caretaker of that person. That would be really, really difficult.
Because all you see is them in that stage, in her case, for those 8 years.
And 8 years is a long time. Don't kid yourself. That's a long time.
We don't have a spot here right now. I know this because it's next. We should have rotated these around. But Michael Bailey Law, people, really, I'm going to be just really serious for a moment. This is not just an ad for Michael. It is, but it's so important. Part of the reason why we have Michael on here is because I personally have seen things happen where people did not have things dialed in estate-wise. And a lot of you are thinking, John, I don't have much of an estate. It's still an estate.
It still is. It's still
your life.
And it's a potential burden for somebody else if
Correct.
You don't have things handled.
Thank you, Dan. So if you've never stopped long enough to get your estate in order, please, in 2018, Michael Bailey's commercial will be coming up here momentarily. Please get that with him. Get done. Get that done is what I'm trying to say. Get together with him. Figure out how to do it. Because there's things even as you're alive, living wills and things like that you really need to get dialed in.
So if this were to happen to you, let's say you're in an accident and you forget who you are, you forget things. As long as you have this paperwork done with Michael Bailey, now Michael knows what's supposed to happen.
And Michael will step in
whatever.
And say, okay, everybody, let's get together. We got a little family meeting here.
Yep.
And he'll be the one to arrange it and handle it and take care of it. And believe me, Michael's the kind of guy that can do that. Okay, I've got extreme confidence that in my own family, Michael will come in and say, okay, guys, here's what John's wishes were. Here's how he wants to get things taken care of. Boom, this is how we're going to execute things. And he'll get the process started. And you need somebody like that in your life to get things done, because believe me, I've watched it with my own two eyes. This is not fun stuff we're talking about, but it's necessary. And if you don't do it, it's a lot less fun for those that you're leaving behind.
It totally. You're absolutely right. I mean, you do not want to put that burden on your family, your loved ones.
No.
And not only that, they'll kind of resent you for it. You don't want to go out that way.
You don't want to be. You don't remember that way either.
As they say, you don't want to be that guy.
No, don't be that guy. So get that stuff taken care of. All right, real quick, let's do this. Front Range Mortgage is coming up next, and they've got a scratch and dent mortgage where if you're trying to get things done around the house, you don't have enough money to do it, you're trying to refi, they're telling you you can't, you need to get that taken care of now. It's Front Range Mortgage, 303-500-1900. Give them a call today. Ask about the scratch and dent mortgage and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Brian Murphy here with another mortgage solution that may help you or a loved one. Many Colorado homeowners have recently been stopped from completing a refinance as their home is discovered to have items in need of repair. Most lenders will stop these loans from closing unless the homeowners pay thousands in home repairs out of their own pocket before they're allowed to close the loan. This is a terrible catch-22 as most people can't afford these home repairs until after the loan closes. We have a solution. At Front Range Mortgage, we have a rare mortgage program that can allow you to complete your refinance even if your home has known items in need of repair, allowing you to complete these repairs after you close using the loan proceeds. If your home has items in need of repair, or if you've already been turned down by another lender, call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to get you closed your home as is and get you the money you need to repair and renovate your home. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
All right, Bristle Cone Shooting coming up next. And again, not just a shooting range, but an entire place where you can go and get everything done you want to do when it comes to the sport of shooting or hunting or whatever it happens to be. Weapons, gunsmithing, training, everything you need to do. And tonight, it's ladies' night on Tuesday.
Yes, it is. So ladies, shoot for free.
Three lanes tonight for ladies. 303-985-0989. As I said earlier, don't forget to ask about the memberships because it's a way you can actually reserve lanes ahead of time. Discounts on other things that are going on. It's just the best way to do it. So join today, Bristle Cone Shooting. It's bristleconeshooting.com, 303-985-0989.
When Jacqueline and Brian Clark opened Bristle Cone Shooting in 2015, they intentionally created an inviting atmosphere where all levels of shooters would feel comfortable. Jacqueline knew from experience that gun shops tended to be boys' clubs, and she wanted to offer women the chance to take classes, develop their shooting skills, and enjoy the sport of shooting. In order to provide a facility where beginners would feel at ease, Jacqueline and Brian invested in a state-of-the-art HVAC system that recycles the air every 90 seconds so you never smell the gunpowder. You won't feel out of place or intimidated because Jacqueline and Brian hire all of their own instructors and they personally train their retail employees to greet you warmly when you come in the door. Visit Bristle Cone Shooting on West Cedar Drive in Lakewood and see for yourself that this isn't your grandfather's shooting range. John Rush remains confident that you will feel welcome at Bristle Cone Shooting.
When you're worried about the physical health of your family, asbestos becomes a scary word. After 30 years of experience protecting Colorado homeowners from the dangerous side effects of airborne asbestos, Jim Oleskovich calms the fears of KLZ listeners by removing hazardous materials from your home. When you call American Abatement, Jim and his team of OSHA-trained EPA and state-certified workers oversee the entire process so you may breathe easy. Call American Abatement today at 303-298-8550 to ensure the safety of your family.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Muir, and I believe my Uncle Bill is joining us now. How are we doing, Mr. Uncle Bill?
Well, I'm doing fine. Just a quickie thing.
Yes.
On the Alzheimer's with Mom.
Right.
One of the things I learned was that I think it's harder on us than it is on them.
Great point.
Because she, I don't think Mom ever realized that she had a problem. And, I mean, she probably knew there was something straight. But anyway, I think it was a lot harder on all of us.
Agree.
Than it was was actually on her.
That's a great point.
And that's the hard part about it, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a great
point.
That's
all. Just wanted to
mention. No, I appreciate that. So, love you. Thank you for calling in. That's great. And that's my Uncle Bill, and he's right. It becomes harder on family members. And again, back to why you need to make sure you got all your ducks in a row.
No, exactly. You're exactly right.
So get your stuff done. Get your stuff handled. Know what's going on. Get all that handled and done. And in a way we go. All right, we're going to have another special guest coming up. He's been with us before, so Charlie's getting him dialed in right now, but Gary Burns has been with us before. He is an ex-Secret Service agent, has written several different books. Actually, the last one was about Hillary. He's now got a new book out, so Gary Burns joining us now. Gary, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Happy New Year, sir.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too, Gary. I appreciate every time you're on air with us. I really, really enjoy having you on. It's always a blast. So the new book is titled what?
Secrets of the Secret Service.
Secret of the Secret Service, the history and uncertain future of the U.S. Secret Service. It's also, by the way, part of why Gary is on with us, it's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. So, Gary, also to guys like you, all the folks that are out there in blue that are doing things to protect our country and handling things day to day, thanks to each and every one of you, you especially, and all that you did. But talk to us about the book and what's in it.
So, Secrets of the Secret Service started out to be a history book. It started out to be a history book about the Secret Service from my perspective.
You know, okay.
The uniform division. As you know, I spent 12 years in the uniform division and of the Secret Service. But as we started writing the book, we actually started as far back. We started with the word regicide, which is basically the term for slaying of a king. And but after about 2 months, I told my coworker, Grant Schmidt, I think we're writing the wrong book. I think we need to make this more about the problems of the Secret Service. The Secret Service has many flaws. You know, they start out as good men and women. The people that are right now protecting the President of the United States in the uniform division and the agent division are good people, but the management system, the hierarchy, is a complete disaster. And I decided that, you know, if anybody's looking for a sign that how bloated can a government agency get before it fails, this is why I wrote the book. You know, we've reached that point where the Secret Service is completely failing at its mission at times.
Okay. So talk to us about some of the things you feel that it's failing at.
So let's go back, you know, let's start from back in history. You know, by the time President John Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas in 1963, four presidents had been shot at in open cars. You know, what's our learning curve?
Not real good if you say it that way.
No, exactly. And here's something else that occurred to me. You know, President John Kennedy was assassinated, as we know, in Dallas and Texas. His brother, Robert Kennedy, was assassinated in a hotel out in Los Angeles. Now, the Secret Service was not doing protection for Robert Kennedy. Everybody knows
okay.
that, right?
Okay.
Right. So we spent millions of dollars protecting John Kennedy, and the result was the same. You know, they're both dead. And my point to that is it doesn't matter how much money you spend, and it doesn't matter, you know, how cool you look in your sunglasses and with your earpiece, if the procedures that you're using and your agents and officers aren't prepared for the job. And they did learn that in Dallas. And you'll see if you get a chance to read my book that it's not just, I'm not just hammering the Secret Service. I'm pulling out some of the...
No, what you're hammering is the system that's behind them, right?
Absolutely. And I'm hammering Congress, because Congress is supposed to be doing oversight, and they are not.
Okay.
And they certainly are not. And here's a couple of examples for you, modern-day examples. So, President Barack Obama... during his presidency, went to Atlanta, Georgia, to the CDC, Center for Disease Control. He was there almost all day. Three times he got on an elevator, and the Secret Service let this guy get on the elevator with him, who was operating the elevator. He was not pinned with a Secret Service temporary pin. Nobody knew who he was. At the end of the day, this guy pulls out a camera and starts taking pictures of President Obama. So they start questioning him. It turns out he's an armed security guard from a private security company that works at the CDC, has a criminal history, and nobody knew he was armed. If this guy had malice, he would have murdered President Obama.
Jeez.
I mean, I know that sounds terrible, and it sounds bad for the Secret Service, but the first thing you have to look at is the agents that were in charge of the detail, the agents that did the advance. What kind of hours are they working? This is the problem with the modern Secret Service. They're working these guys to death. Hmm. During the campaign for 2016, there were one-third of the agents in the Secret Service worked, their pay hit a cap, this artificial cap, which is ridiculous, and they can't make any more money. That's called slavery. You can't keep working people.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They started doing it 50 or 60 years ago because it was a small amount of money, and it was only a couple hours here and there. Now it's hundreds of hours. And what's their motto? One of their famous unofficial mottos? Well, that's the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
And the attrition rate is atrocious.
Yeah.
The agents are leaving. The uniform division is leaving. And this is what the book is about.
Wow. I mean, I hear where you're coming from. And I appreciate the fact, Gary, that you're not criticizing, you know, by any means, the men and women that are in the uniform themselves. What you're criticizing is the systems we have in place, which to me sounds typical of government, where we've gotten archaic and we need to upgrade some of the systems we have in place to make sure things that we're doing things as effectively and efficiently as we possibly can, which, by the way, government's not very good at.
No, you're exactly right. And if you get a chance to read the book, Secrets of the Secret Service, you'll see that I take every chance I can to point out that these are good people.
Right.
And they start out as good people. And the other thing, too, is I did a lot of interviews, and I was apprehensive at first. But I would tell you, when I went down to Washington, D.C., and I first went to interview people that I didn't know, and I just walked around the White House, and I saw some agents coming out of Old Ebbets Grill with food, and I watched them walk over to the post. And typically, agents don't hold posts outside the White House. But during that summer, they were so short on manpower, they were bringing agents in from all over the country to stand post with the uniform division. This is not what they signed up for.
Right.
And I talked, the one individual I talked to, he'd been on 3 years, and I said, this won't last forever. He says, I've been doing it for 3 years, and I have to come out here every other month for 2 weeks. And he said, this is not what I signed up for. And I said, well, it's not going to last for long. He said, it's over. In 30 days, when I go back, 30 days from now, I'm done. I've got another job in another government agency. Everything they told me, he said, everything they told him when he came on, they lied. And that's what people are fed up with.
Wow.
Can I keep going?
No, we've got, so you know, timing-wise, we'll take a break in about 5 minutes. I'll bring you back. We'll have another, sure. I don't know, 10 minutes or so, and we'll get finished up. But, no, keep going. This is good stuff. Again, we've got Gary Byrne with us and new book out, Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service. So continue on, Gary. Good stuff.
Sure. So 1,300, the uniform division of the Secret Service right now is approximately 1,300 people. Out of those 1,300 officers, men and women, 1,100 of them are eligible for retirement in the next 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Gary, yes. Gary, that's not good.
No, and they know it. And so one of the things that leads me to believe it are the agents that manage the Secret Service, are they trying to do away with the uniform division? Because they are routinely hostile to the uniform division. I talk about it in the book. I refer to it as, we call it UD bashing, you know, where they don't like the uniform division, but it's a necessary tool for them. And the uniform division does a lot of work for protection that people don't know about. In 2013, they did a panel. Congress put together a panel, an outside panel of experts. I talk about it in the book. And they reviewed all the issues with the Secret Service that they were having. Excuse me, it was in 2015 they put the panel together. And they reviewed all the issues, the prostitutes in Cartagena, the drinking, the defense jumpers, the agents, you know, all the incidences. And the one thing they kept coming back to is everybody they talked to said, yes, money is good, but we need leadership. We don't have leadership.
Yeah.
And we don't have the manpower to keep working ourselves into the ground.
Yeah, no, great point. Go ahead.
Well, just real quick.
We got two questions. You got Dan and we got
one
more.
Is,
phone,
the,
so
is the head of the Secret Service a political appointee, or how does that work?
Who's that? The
head of the Secret Service. So whoever's
in charge
of the Secret Service, is that a political appointee? Like,
right.
Would President Trump appoint this person?
Right. So the president usually gets appointed, but typically, at least for the last, like, 60, almost 70 years, the directors of the Secret Service have come from inside the Secret Service. Now, when President Trump got elected and he reviewed what was going on, he decided, and Congress and this panel and other people from outside, certainly I, not that anybody was listening to me, but, you know, I thought it was a good idea, and so did a lot of other people, to hire somebody from outside the Secret Service.
Mm.
Because we keep getting the same, you know,
right.
Albert Einstein said that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result.
Right.
So they have this new director. He's a former Marine, two-star general, and he is trying to fix things. But the problem that I see is the information he's getting is from that middle executive management that wants to keep it the way it is, the status quo. And I think it's a real problem for him.
And he's been there, if I'm not mistaken, I'm looking at it right now. Has he been there since 2013?
Randolph Elias?
No, so my information is wrong. So there's somebody new that's been, I'm guessing that Trump probably appointed somebody new.
Right, he's probably coming up on about a year.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so, that's one of the reasons, that's the main reason I wrote this book. Was, like I said, we started out just to write about assassination. But when I looked at all the incidences the Secret Service had, for instance, at the time of President Reagan, the attempted assassination against President Reagan by John Hinckley.
Yep.
Before him, there was President Gerry Ford. Gerry Ford was shot at twice in a 40-day period by a woman with a handgun in an open crowd. Again, what's our learning curve? When do we learn to stop? Not until Reagan gets shot do we start controlling the crowd,
right,
the press.
Right.
And does it always have to be a disaster?
We're reactionary. We're not proactive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's intolerable.
Yeah. No, I agree. Hey, we got a question coming in from Warren. Warren, you're on with Gary Byrne. Welcome, Warren.
Gentlemen, just a quick question for Gary. In your book, Gary, is there any mention of Dick Marcinko with the SEALs and his action that interacted with the Secret Service?
No, there's not. But I do know who you're talking about. I live on the East Coast. I'm a big fan of the Commanders. I read all his books. I don't have anything in there about that. There's a few things that I didn't write about because I believe they're probably classified.
Okay.
Some procedures. So I was very particular, but I do know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay, perfect. Hang tight, Gary. We've got calls coming in as well. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. We also want to hear about some of the Clinton years as well, so don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning, coming up next. So you heard me talk about Michael Bailey a little earlier, so I won't belabor this at all. If your estate is not in order, get it done now. Call Michael.
That's right. Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. 720-394-6887. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
So, you haven't called Michael Bailey, the Mobile Estate Planner, yet. But really, what's the worst that can happen today? Well, first, you could die without a will, and then your oldest child will start a fight with the rest of your family about what should happen with what you left behind. And then, because you didn't take a little time to make a plan, all of your assets get tied up in the probate court. And because the court case takes so long to be settled, all of your spouse's savings get used up on legal fees, and they're forced to move into that tent city on the outskirts of town because it's all they can afford. And your youngest child will have to join a secret military team as an undercover spy just to make ends meet. All while your oldest grows more resentful because they feel entitled to your assets and they become a wild-eyed megalomaniac and end up building an elaborate slow-moving torture laser that they use on your youngest while monologuing about world domination. Now you get the point? All of this could happen because you didn't call Michael Bailey, the Mobile Estate Planner, while you still had a chance. Call Michael Bailey at 720-394-6887 to avoid the worst that could happen. He'll come to you and get your will drafted today.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Join me weekdays from noon to 1 for Haystack Help Radio. We'll help with consumer problems, give you quality business referrals, let you know about the latest scams, and we'll also give great help for seniors. Weekdays, noon to 1 for Haystack Help Radio. Check out our website, haystackhelpradio.com.
Fact. When the car radio was introduced, many U.S. states wanted to ban them, arguing that it would distract drivers and cause accidents. Fact. In the early 20th century, horses caused so much pollution with their poop that cars were considered the green alternative. And fact. About 90% of people choose their auto repair shop because it's closest to their home or work. The last fact is unfortunate because it's not the best way to choose the person that you're supposed to trust to repair and maintain your car. At ColoradoSelect.com, you'll find a group of hand-picked member shops whose main goal is to provide exceptional customer service at affordable prices. So you may not know that in Russia, it's a criminal offense to drive around in a dirty car, or that the highest recorded mileage on one vehicle is 2,850,000 miles. But now you do know that when it's time to find a mechanic that you can trust, all you need is ColoradoSelect.com. Keep your car on the road. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Muir, and Gary Byrne with The Secrets of the Secret Service, author of The History of Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service, and he was in the Secret Service for a number of years. So, Gary, again, thanks for all your service. It's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. So, Charlie, our engineer, Gary, wants you to explain real quick before we get into any other topics, Bill Clinton, or Clinton with the coat overhead.
Yeah, so I was working late one night at the White House, and I was being forced to work over. I worked the afternoon shift, probably after 12 o'clock at night, and I was leaving the White House, and I had to go out the West basement in the West Executive Drive. And as I started walking out, the officer on post at the door said, "Be careful when you go out. The president's out there with Bruce Lindsay, his lawyer, and a couple of senior guys from the Secret Service, and there's something wrong." And I said, "Oh, okay, you know." And I didn't really pay much attention. So I walk out, and they're standing there, the president, Bruce Lindsay, these two agents, or three agents. And then, you know, I looked at them kind of puzzled-like, and they were having a pretty heated discussion. And I turned to my right, and there was a sergeant and an officer standing there. And I started walking towards them, you know, to keep going to the locker room. And I said, "What's up?" And they said, "Well, I caught Bill Clinton trying to sneak out under Bruce Lindsay's raincoat." And I laughed, and I go, "Oh, that's funny. You know, really, what's going on?" And they said, "No, we caught Bill Clinton trying to sneak out underneath Lindsay's raincoat." And I looked over, and, you know, you could just see the tension on the agent's face. And I'm like, "Oh, my God, this is real." So, you know, Bill Clinton tried to leave the complex. I guess this is maybe what they did when they were in Arkansas. And he tried to sneak out. I don't know exactly where he's going. I will tell you that at the time, the people in the Secret Service after that incident, the people that I talked to, they believed he was sneaking out to see a woman. And they also believe it wasn't the only time that it happened.
Interesting. I have my own question. You know, presidents, first ladies, all of that, and we hear all the different stories, and I know I've asked you some of this before, but I always enjoy this part of it because, you know, we as the paupers of the world don't necessarily see those individuals as the real people that they are. So, yeah. I mean, do they have, you know, good days, bad days? Are they always jerks? Are they always nice? I mean, tell us some of the different personalities of the presidents and first ladies you ran into.
Sure. So Mrs. Clinton was generally pretty unpleasant, especially to the uniform.
Why do I not doubt what you're telling me, Gary?
Yeah.
I mean, are you being kind there, Gary?
Yeah, I think he is, actually.
Yeah, not 100% of the time she was unkind, but, like, you know, 90%.
Okay, got it.
She was very hostile. Bill Clinton was pretty easygoing. He was pretty nice. He was easy to get along with. He was friendly. And he tried to be, you know, a decent guy. He really was. I mean, as far as that goes, listen, I wouldn't trust him to drive my 27-year-old niece home, but you know, he was pleasant to work around. Some of the other people, like in his administration, like one of the nicest people you're ever going to want to meet is his former chief of staff, Leon Panetta, who eventually became my Secretary of Defense and then the head of the CIA for President Obama.
Wow.
He's one of the nicest human beings you ever wanted to meet.
Wow.
Good people. Yeah. President Bush was George H.W. Bush, Papa Bush, very nice, very reserved. George W. Bush, again, you know, the same family as you know, very nice people, just, you know, kind of givers. I mean, they're nice people, they're givers. They're kind, they were really pleasant to be around.
Interesting. I assume all of them have good days, bad days. How do they deal with the lack of privacy, or is it just something they get used to, or do they have private times and private moments?
Well, the private living quarters, which is the top two floors of the White House, and actually, when you look at the White House, it's deceiving from the outside. Now, there's actually a floor. When you look at the White House, and you see what looks like a railing.
Yes.
At the top. There's actually a floor above that, like inside the.
Okay.
So they have the top two floors, and most of the time, they get to have that. You know, we secure the bottom of that, and we're not up there.
Okay.
Most of the time. There is a post on the roof, so there's always somebody standing on the roof. If it's not the counter-sniper, when the counter-sniper guys go off the roof, then the uniform division officer takes the post up on the roof.
Got it.
So, and that was an issue with the Clintons sometimes when
they would have their discussions that, you know, got out of control.
Yeah, their fights.
Yeah. But it also led to some, you know, sweet moments and some funny things with some of the other detectives. You know, George W. Bush's kids brought their friends out on the balcony one time to show them. And they're standing there looking, and all of a sudden one of the friends turns around, and there's the two counter-stepper guys standing there with giant binoculars. And the girl's like, oh, my God, who are those guys? And they're like, oh, that's Secret Service UD counter-stepper. You know, they're always there. and the guys thought it was very funny, and the girl wanted to take pictures with them, but, you know, they couldn't.
Right,
their moods, they generally, you know, they're so focused on work. I mean, even like Bill Clinton, he was pretty even-keeled. You could tell there was something on his mind.
Right.
But he was even-keeled. Papa Bush was the same way. He was very reserved. But he would talk to you once in a while. Mrs. Bush, in my first book, Chris is a Character, I tell you some funny stories about Barbara Bush, the mother, you know,
right.
The grandmother. And, you know, she would, if you, you know, if she said hello to you and you didn't say hello back, she would chase you down. You know, she was very nice, and she had a great sense of humor.
Wow.
And so it was a very interesting job, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that part does seem interesting. But you're right. I looked up some of the salaries and things that we're requiring of those men and women right now, and you're right. We need a complete revamp of all of that. So question for you in closing. Do you think Donald Trump, and I know he's got a lot on his plate, and really he does. He's got a lot of things he's got to try to get through here in the next, you know, couple of years even. Do you think this is something that's top on his radar, or is this going to be, you know, a ways down the road a little bit?
I don't think it is, because I don't think he knows how bad it is. I really hope he reads my book, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this because it sounds like I'm bragging, but he read the first one because he actually read from it. I don't know if we talked about
it. Yes, he did. You're right. No, that's correct.
He actually read from it during a couple campaign speeches, and I'm telling you that when I go to, you know, when I end up at the pearly gates, I will mention that.
Well, so, I can tell you right now, Gary, that he's also a guy that watches, you know, different things on TV, listens to things, even, you know, podcasts, things along those lines. I guarantee you that if he hasn't read the book, he's at least heard enough about it that if he doesn't pick it up, I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
You know, I get the same impression. So my thing with him, if I could get his ear for 2 seconds, would be, you know, I know there's a lot on your plate, but this is the protection. These are the people that protect you.
Yep.
They protect our currency. The whole agency needs to be revamped.
Yep.
You know, I don't expect anybody to, you know, give me time with the president, but if I could, you know, go in front of Congress and testify to what the truth is and break it down for these people and tell them that, you know, the hardest application, if you fix the Secret Service and you get it working right and you smooth it out, and who's better to rebuild a government agency to work more like a company than Donald Trump?
Amen. Well said.
Right. So if they get the Secret Service fixed, they can use it as a template to fix
that's
the
right.
agency.
That's exactly right.
The FBI, everybody needs it, you know?
Yep. No, good stuff. Gary, with that, I got to run. Top of the hour break here. I really, really appreciate all that you've done. Again, folks, the book, Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service, and it is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. So, Gary, man, I appreciate what you've done, the book, all the time, the effort, the service, and frankly, for being on our show as much as you are. We really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Great stuff, man.
My pleasure. Yes, thank you. My pleasure, and thank you to all the police officers out there that are protecting us right
now.
Enjoy.
Well said. Well said. Gary, thanks. Have a fantastic evening. Thanks for all you do. Good stuff, guys. I really appreciate that. Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service by Gary Byrne. You just heard him talk for a half hour. Good, good stuff. Colorado Wellness Dentistry is coming up next, and their LANAP laser treatment, which, Dan, you've actually felt. So what's it feel like, Dan, by the way?
So it's just a warm sensation. It's kind of neat.
So you don't even know anything's really going on?
No.
Okay, so they have LANAP. They can take care of all your oral care needs, implants, you name it. They have got it all dialed in. It's ColoradoWellnessDentistry.com. Get your free consultation today, 303-953-4812. When you call them, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
The fact that your gums bleed every time you brush your teeth could point to problems in other areas of your body. In his dedicated effort to protect your natural teeth, therefore defending the health of your entire body, Dr. Olson remains among less than 2% of dentists in Denver to offer LANAP laser therapy. Dr. Olson understands that inflammation in one part of your body likely indicates inflammation in the rest of your body. By proactively treating inflammation in your gums, you prevent serious health threats throughout your body.
With Lenap Laser Therapy, Dr. Olson and his team at Colorado Wellness Dentistry promote healing from the bone level without any painful cutting or stitching. Call 303-953-4812 to speak with a dentist who not only recognizes the link between oral care and total body health, but who also implements innovative technology daily in his practice. Mention KLZ to schedule a free 20-minute consultation with Dr. Olson, either in person or over the phone. That's 303-953-4812.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I apologize for having, you know, Gary on as much as we do. I shouldn't apologize. I enjoy having
him. Don't apologize.
Well, what I meant to say is, what I meant to say is I have him on a lot because I have just, I'll just confess, this utmost respect for those that are in the Secret Service, number one, for what they do in protecting the president. I mean, I just look at those guys and think, man, I know it's dangerous and all that, but what a cool, cool, cool job, if you ask me, to be able to do. Now I realize they're underpaid, they work them to death and all of that, but to me, just everything that is around that, I just have this fascination, I guess is what I should say, with the Secret Service.
Oh, it is fascinating.
So, you know, have him on as much as we do. In fact, it's been a little bit since we've had him on, but man, I enjoy talking to him. He's a guy I could sit down and talk for hours
to. We actually need to have him on more. It's just good
stuff. I love talking to him. So he's a great, great guy. So Steve Bannon has stepped down from Breitbart. That's probably a good thing.
Ah, yes, very good thing. That guy's kind of a nut job.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Does he have other problems or what's going on there?
Yeah, his ego.
Yeah,
that could be a huge problem. I mean, you don't take on the president like that.
No, you do not. So, Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. When we come back, the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. Charlie's got a little 2-minute clip here from Paul Harvey that will go and ride along with that that we will play. So, don't go away. One more full hour coming your way. John Rush, Dan Muir, Cassie George doing Facebook Live. Charlie Grimes, our engineer. We will be right back here. Third hour coming up next. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.